Chapter 139. I am involved in mystery. I received one morning by the post the following letter, dated Canterbury, and addressed to me at Doctor's Commons, which I read with some surprise. My dear sir, circumstances beyond my individual control have, for a considerable lapse of time, effected a severance of that intimacy which, in the limited opportunities conceded to me in the midst of my professional duties, of contemplating the scenes and events of the past, tinged by the prismatic hues of memory, has ever afforded me, as it ever must continue to afford, gratifying emotions of no common description. This fact, my dear sir, combined with the distinguished elevation to which your talents have raised you, deters me from presuming to aspire to the liberty of addressing the companion of my youth by the familiar appellation of Copperfield. It is sufficient to know that the name to which I do myself the honor to refer will ever be treasured among the muniments of our house. I allude to the archives connected with our former lodgers, preserved by Mrs. Micawber, with sentiments of personal esteem amounting to affection. It is not for one, situated, through his original errors and a fortuitous combination of unpropitious events, as is the foundered bark, if he may be allowed to assume so maritime a denomination, who now takes up the pen, to address you. It is not, I repeat, for one so circumstanced, to adopt the language of compliment, or of congratulation, that he leaves to abler, and to purer hands. If your more important avocations should admit of your ever tracing these imperfect characters thus far, which may be, or may not be, as circumstances arise, you will naturally inquire by what object am I influenced, then, in ending the present missive. Allow me to say, that I fully defer to the reasonable character of that inquiry, and proceed to develop it, premising that it is not an object of a pecuniary nature. Without more directly referring to any latent ability that may possibly exist on my part, of wielding the thunderbolt, or directing the devouring and avenging flame in any quarter, I may be permitted to observe, in passing, that my brightest visions are forever dispelled, that my peace is shattered, and my power of enjoyment destroyed, that my heart is no longer in the right place, and that I no more walk erect before my fellow man. The canker is in the flower. The cup is bitter to the brim. The worm is at his work, and will soon dispose of his victim. The sooner the better. But I will not digress. Plussed in a mental position of peculiar painfulness, beyond the assuaging reach even of Mrs. Micawber's influence, though exercised in the tripartite character of woman, wife, and mother, it is my intention to fly from myself for a short period, and devote a respite of 8 and 40 hours to revisiting some metropolitan scenes of past enjoyment. Among other havens of domestic tranquility and peace of mind, my feet will naturally tend towards the King's Bench Prison, in stating that I shall be D5. On the outside of the south wall of that place of incarceration on civil process, the day after tomorrow, at 7 in the evening, precisely, my object in this epistolary communication is accomplished. I do not feel warranted in soliciting my former friend Mr. Copperfield, or my former friend Mr. Thomas Traddles of the Inner Temple, if that gentleman is still existent and forthcoming, to condescend to meet me, and renew, so far as may be, our past relations of the olden time. I confine myself to throwing out the observation, that, at the hour and place I have indicated, may be found such ruined vestiges as yet remain, of a fallen tower, Wilkins Micawber. P.S. It may be advisable to superadd to the above the statement that Mrs. Micawber is not in confidential possession of my intentions. Apostrophe, I read the letter over several times, making due allowance for Mr. Micawber's lofty style of composition, and for the extraordinary relish with which he sat down, and wrote long letters on all possible and impossible occasions, I still believed that something important lay hidden at the bottom of this roundabout communication. I put it down, to think about it, and took it up again, to read it once more, and was still pursuing it, when Traddles found me in the height of my perplexity. "My dear fellow," apostrophe said I never was better pleased to see you. You come to give me the benefit of your sober judgment at a most opportune time. I have received a very singular letter, Traddles, from Mr. Micawber. Apostrophe, no? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Traddles. You don't say so? And I have received one from Mrs. Micawber. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with that, Traddles, who was flushed with walking, and whose hair, under the combined effects of exercise and excitement, stood on end, as if he saw a cheerful ghost, produced his letter, and made an exchange with me. I watched him into the heart of Mr. Micawber's letter, and returned the elevation of eyebrows with which he said wielding the thunderbolt, or directing the devouring and avenging flame. Bless me, Copperfield. Apostrophe and then entered on the perusal of Mrs. Micawber's epistle. It ran thus. My best regards to Mr. Thomas Traddles, and if he should still remember one who formerly had the happiness of being well acquainted with him, may I beg a few moments of his leisure time? I assure Mr. T.T. that I would not intrude upon his kindness, were I in any other position than on the confines of distraction. Though harrowing to myself to mention, the alienation of Mr. Micawber, formerly so domesticated, from his wife and family, is the cause of my addressing my unhappy appeal to Mr. Traddles, and soliciting his best indulgence. Mr. T. can form no adequate idea of the change in Mr. Micawber's conduct, of his wildness, of his violence. It has gradually augmented, until it assumes the appearance of aberration of intellect. Scarcely a day passes, I assure Mr. Traddles, on which some paroxysm does not take place. Mr. T. will not require me to depict my feelings, when I inform him, that I have become accustomed to hear Mr. Micawber assert, that he has sold himself to the D. Mystery and secrecy have long been his principal characteristic, have long replaced unlimited confidence. The slightest provocation, even being asked if there is anything he would prefer for dinner, causes him to express a wish for a separation. Last night, on being childishly solicited for twopence, to buy lemon stunners a local sweetmeat, he presented an oyster knife at the Twins. I entreat Mr. Traddles to bear with me in entering into these details. Without them, Mr. T. would indeed find it difficult to form the faintest conception of my heart-rending situation. May I now venture to confide to Mr. T. the purport of my letter? Will he now allow me to throw myself on his friendly consideration? Oh yes, for I know his heart. The quick eye of affection is not easily blinded, when of the female sex. Mr. Micawber is going to London. Though he studiously concealed his hand, this morning before breakfast, in writing the direction card which he attached to the little brown valise of happier days, the eagle glance of matrimonial anxiety detected, D.O.N., distinctly traced. The West End destination of the coach is the Golden Cross. Dare I fervently implore Mr. T. to see my misguided husband, and to reason with him? Dare I ask Mr. T. to endeavor to step in between Mr. Micawber and his agonized family? Oh no, for that would be too much. If Mr. Copperfield should yet remember one unknown to fame, will Mr. T. take charge of my unalterable regards and similar entreaties? In any case, he will have the benevolence to consider this communication strictly private, and on no account, whatever to be alluded to, however distantly, in the presence of Mr. Micawber. If Mr. T. should ever reply to it, which I cannot, but feel to be most improbable, a letter addressed to M.E., Post Office, Canterbury, will be fraught with less painful consequences than any addressed immediately to one who subscribes herself, in extreme distress, apostrophe Mr. Thomas Traddles, respectful friend and suppliant, Emma Micawber. Apostrophe, what do you think of that letter? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Traddles, casting his eyes upon me, when I had read it twice. What do you think of the other? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said one. For he was still reading it with knitted brows. I think that the two together, Copperfield, apostrophe, replied Traddles, mean more than Mr. and Mrs. Micawber usually mean in their correspondence, but I don't know what. They are both written in good faith, I have no doubt, and without any collusion. Poor thing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he was now alluding to Mrs. Micawber's letter, and we were standing side by side comparing the two. It will be a charity to write to her, at all events, and tell her that we will not fail to see Mr. Micawber. Apostrophe, I acceded to this the more readily, because I now reproached myself with having treated her former letter rather lightly. It had set me thinking a good deal at the time, as I have mentioned in its place. But my absorption in my own affairs, my experience of the family, and my hearing nothing more, had gradually ended in my dismissing the subject. I had often thought of the Micawbers, but chiefly to wonder what pecuniary liabilities they were establishing in Canterbury, and to recall how shy Mr. Micawber was of me when he became clerk to Uriah Heep. However, I now wrote a comforting letter to Mrs. Micawber, in our joint names, and we both signed it. As we walked into town to post it, Traddles and I held a long conference, and launched into a number of speculations, which I need not repeat. We took my aunt into our councils in the afternoon, but our only decided conclusion was that we would be very punctual in keeping Mr. Micawber's appointment. Although we appeared at the stipulated place a quarter of an hour before the time, we found Mr. Micawber already there. He was standing with his arms folded, over against the wall, looking at the spikes on the top, with a sentimental expression, as if they were the interlacing boughs of trees that had shaded him in his youth. When we accosted him, his manner was something more confused, and something less genteel, than of yore. He had relinquished his legal suit of black for the purposes of this excursion, and wore the old surtout and tights, but not quite with the old air. He gradually picked up more and more of it as we conversed with him, but his very eyeglass seemed to hang less easily, and his shirt collar, though still of the old formidable dimensions, rather drooped. Gentlemen, apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, after the first salutations, you are friends in need, and friends indeed. Allow me to offer my inquiries with reference to the physical welfare of Mrs. Copperfield in S, and Mrs. Traddles in Posse, presuming, that is to say, that my friend Mr. Traddles is not yet united to the object of his affections, for weal and for woe. Apostrophe, we acknowledged his politeness, and made suitable replies. He then directed our attention to the wall, and was beginning, I assure you, gentlemen, apostrophe, when I ventured to object to that ceremonious form of address, and to beg that he would speak to us in the old way. My dear Copperfield, apostrophe, he returned, pressing my hand, your cordiality overpowers me. This reception of a shattered fragment of the temple once called man, if I may be permitted so, to express myself bespeaks a heart that is an honor to our common nature. I was about to observe that I again behold the serene spot where some of the happiest hours of my existence fleeted by. Apostrophe, made so, I am sure, by Mrs. Micawber, apostrophe, said one. I hope she is well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, thank you, apostrophe, returned Mr. Micawber, whose face clouded at this reference, she is but so-so. And this, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, nodding his head sorrowfully, is the bench, where, for the first time in many revolving years, the overwhelming pressure of pecuniary liabilities was not proclaimed, from day to day, by importune voices declining to vacate the passage. Where there was no knocker on the door for any creditor to appeal to, where personal service of process was not required, and detainees were merely lodged at the gate. Gentlemen, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, when the shadow of that iron work on the summit of the brick structure has been reflected on the gravel of the parade, I have seen my children thread the mazes of the intricate pattern, avoiding the dark marks. I have been familiar with every stone in the place. If I betray weakness, you will know how to excuse me. Apostrophe, we have all got on in life since then, Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said one. Apostrophe Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe returned Mr. Micawber, bitterly, when I was an inmate of that retreat I could look my fellow man in the face, and punch his head, if he offended me. My fellow man and myself are no longer on those glorious terms. Apostrophe apostrophe, turning from the building in a downcast manner, Mr. Micawber accepted my proffered arm on one side, and the proffered arm of Traddles on the other, and walked away between us. There are some landmarks, apostrophe observed Mr. Micawber, looking fondly back over his shoulder, on the road to the tomb, which, but for the impiety of the aspiration, a man would wish never to have passed. Such as the bench in my checkered career. Apostrophe, oh, you are in low spirits, Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said Traddles. I am, sir, apostrophe interposed Mr. Micawber. I hope, apostrophe said Traddles, it is not because you have conceived a dislike to the law, for I am a lawyer myself, you know. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber answered not a word. How is our friend Heap, Mr. Micawber? Apostrophe apostrophe said I, after a silence. My dear Copperfield, apostrophe returned Mr. Micawber, bursting into a state of much excitement, and turning pale, if you ask after my employer as your friend, I am sorry for it. If you ask after him as my friend, I sardonically smile at it. In whatever capacity you ask after my employer, I beg, without offense to you, to limit my reply to this that, whatever his state of health may be, his appearance is foxy. Not to say diabolical. You will allow me, as a private individual, to decline pursuing a subject which has lashed me to the utmost verge of desperation in my professional capacity. Apostrophe, I expressed my regret for having innocently touched upon a theme that roused him so much. May I ask, apostrophe said I, without any hazard of repeating the mistake, how my old friends Mr. and Miss Wickfield are? Apostrophe apostrophe, Miss Wickfield, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, now turning red, is, as she always is, a pattern, and a bright example. My dear Copperfield, she is the only starry spot in a miserable existence. My respect. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.